God bless you, saints. Let's stand together. This is 7 in your hymn book. Are you redeemed this morning? Amen. Amen.
Well, I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed redeemed are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we're washed like soul and free from all sin. Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like soul. Just praise his name. Our gathering in. Oh, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow.
Why don't you turn around and shake hands with your neighbor this morning?
Prepare the banquet board when the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the
saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, and then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow, green from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed, all one more time together, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow, free from all sin. I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Amen. He's good to us. Yes. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again together. And I just want to say a very special thank you to our trustees and deacons and their wives and everybody that volunteered to help with the pitch-in yesterday. I know it was a lot of work, but it was really a nice time of fellowship in the Lord. And we certainly enjoyed it and appreciate all the efforts that everyone put into that. And got a prayer request from Brother Robert Marrero. He's a pastor from New York, and he's asking a prayer for his mother. Her name is Ruth, and she's a believer, but she's not feeling well at all and is having chest pain, so I want to remember her in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, he wasn't feeling well yesterday, but I'm glad to see him feeling better. We prayed for him, and good to see him back in service. Got Brother Kenny Capps with us this morning. Brother Kenny, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. We're happy to be here today. God is good all the time. You agree? Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again this morning. And Lord, we've had needs represented among us once again. And Lord, you know every need. Lord, you know every situation. Lord, we pray for every need this morning. We pray that you would come, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, that you would speak to the hearts and the minds and the bodies of the people, Lord, that have needs this morning. Lord, you've seen every request made known by the lifting of hand. God, we commit it all to you this morning. Lord, we trust you for everything. We know that if we can believe you, you can do all things. Lord, may we have faith this morning to believe you. May we reach out by faith and believe for these needs that's been spoken this morning and been made known by the uplifting of hand. God, we love you this morning. We want to be found worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we don't come to be seen or see others, but Lord, we come to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would have your way in this service this morning. Lord, that you would touch every heart. Lord, that you would come and walk these aisles among us. Lord, that you would come and speak to the minister this morning. Lord, that he breaks the bread of life. Lord, that we may go from this place, Lord, with sustenance, Lord, and with substance from the word. Lord, we love you. We pray. Praise your name. Give you glory for all things this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless
you. Good morning, church. We're going to be finishing up the ninth chapter of the book of Psalms. The ninth chapter. We're going to read 11. Start with 11 and finish out the chapter this morning. For those of you who weren't here last night, you missed a gastronomical jubilee. Amen. Spiritually speaking. We really had a time with our brothers and sisters, and boy, can they sing. Amen. So we really enjoyed it. Of course, we've enjoyed Brother Jack, and looking forward to this morning and tonight, see what the Lord has for us through his servant, really under anticipation. So I trust that all of you came expecting. Amen. All right, let's finish this now, the Lord willing. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, and consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death.
That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation.
The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid it is their own foot taken.
The Lord is known by the judgment which he has seated. The wicked is standing for earth in his own hands.
The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. God bless you, church. Please be seated.
At this time, Sister Rebecca's Sunday school class is going to come up and give us a special treat this morning.
Beatitudes.
Now we're going to ask their parents to come up and do the same thing. They did a good job, didn't they? Let's give them another hand clap.
God bless you, saints. Sure appreciate that. Amen. This time we have a special from some of the sisters that have come in town from Johnson City this morning.
With all creation.
stabbing color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to
Sure, appreciate that. Thank you, sisters. God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Tina Westco.
Good morning. God bless you.
I told her to come up here where we can see her a little better.
He's been selfishly reaching out for what pleased me. Still, my God, He was faithful to me. Every time I'd come back to Him, He was waiting with open arms, and I see once again He's been faithful.
God bless you, sister. Sure appreciate all of our singers using their talents for the Lord. Amen. God bless you. The brothers would come at this time.
Well, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, since I'm burning down. Since I lay my burden down, oh,
Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be
tell you he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is, church, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him to. He'll be there right on time every time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. They thought he was late, but old Lazarus said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he can testify he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Amen. Amen. We serve an on-time God. We serve a present tense God. He's a God that hears and answers prayer. Amen. I'm asking Brother Jack if he'd come at this time. And while he does, let's just sing this. Have you enjoyed these special meetings? Amen. Oh, where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run into the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, where can I hide? Oh, till my storms have all passed over, who do I run to? Oh, when those winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? In these times of great tribulation, when my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone, to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, go to the rock. Let's sing it this way again. Oh, where can I hide till my storms have all passed over? Who can I run to? Oh, when those winds of sorrow threaten, is there a refuge? In these times of great tribulation, when my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Oh, church, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone the builders rejected, to the mountain. Go to the rock. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Blessed be his holy name. And you can be seated on today. I was requested to sing a song, and I'm going to do that by the grace of God. I hadn't practiced this. So if I make any mistakes, please forgive me. But since Sister Stephanie requested, I asked her to play it. But we're so happy, amen, to be here in fellowship once again with you all. Now,
Brother Nathan, I have to tell you that you all pulled something out of us last night that we had not done anywhere. We've never done that before. What was the song, Matt? I don't know what you come to do. I need to tell y'all that has never, ever happened. I don't even know if it even happened at home, you know. But that was something that when, you know, Brother Furman starts singing it, it just kind of like, you know, you took a trip down memory lane. It's like, wait a minute, brother, you know. And you know, we hadn't practiced that, nothing. It just happened right here on the spot. All right, but we just really appreciate the Lord for the liberty. Amen. Not many places you go and you just truly have liberty. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we thank God for that. Again, I'm so grateful. This year, last year, my brother, amen, was with me, and Brother Stephen, amen, also with me. But this year, the Lord brought a lot more saints, amen. And we're so grateful to have them, my wife, my daughters, my mom, my mother-in-law, sisters. I got sister-in-laws in here. I got all kind of family. But the church from Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, amen, we just thank God for each and every one of them and the sacrifice they made to come. Amen. I'm going to try to sing this song, amen, by God's grace. The title of the song is What Sin? Happened so long ago, I cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus. I begged him to forgive my sins. But I still can't forget it. Just won't go away. So I wept again. Lord, wash my sin. But this is all he'd say. What sin? What sin? Well, that's as far away as the east is from the west. What sin? Tell me what sin. It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear it, so let it go in my Jesus' name. My God is slow to anger, and he's quick to forgive our sins. So let him place it under the blood. Don't bring it up again. He'll say, what sin? What sin? That's as far away as the east is from the west. My child, what sin? Tell me what sin. It was gone the very minute you confess. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh Lord, please deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weep this way, but then I hear you say, what sin? What sin?
that's as far away as the east is from the west. Oh, what's sin? Tell me what's sin. It was gone the very minute you confess. Buried in the sea of forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just one more song. I remember hearing that song years ago on the radio, and it seemed like sometimes songwriters, they just know exactly what you need at the right time. And I remember just, you know, listening just to the words of the song, and it just really ministered to my heart. And it's just been a theme, anthem for me, because there's nothing like the blood of Jesus. I tell you what, when you're going through different things, amen, and I remember one time I was going through a little something, and I was actually at home trying to pray. And while I was there in prayer, Satan just began to bring in my mind just all the things that I had done wrong. And you know, he just began to try to talk to me while I was trying to pray, and it was a struggle. Struggle as you start thinking, you know, through all of that, and it was just hard to get a real breakthrough, amen, in that time of prayer. But while I was in prayer, the Lord Jesus gave me a vision of something. He gave me a vision of the blood. And when I got a chance to just get a good glimpse of the blood, I realized that Satan could not hold me captive to my thoughts. I was free because Jesus made me free. He'd reach it to the high. It flows through lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from grateful for the blood in this place this morning. I said it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from
in the blood of the Lamb. You see, there is power, power, wonder-working power. It's in the bread.
Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we could never thank you enough for the blood that was shed just for us. And I'm a little selfish this morning, God. I realized that that time that you were on earth praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you begin to ask, if it were possible, let this cup pass. But in my selfishness, God, I believe you got a glimpse of me. And you said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I got to go for Jack. And God, I just thank you for what you did for me. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. So God, I'm so grateful that your blood washed me and your blood loosed me from my sins. God, I pray that as we enter into this time of, Lord, just fellowshipping around the word, that the Spirit of God would take control over this portion of the service. May you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. And may you get all the praise. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Praise the Lord. We'll go into the word of the Lord now. Amen. Thank God for the musicians, just everybody in their respective places. I also just needed to give a quick shout out. Y'all know what that is. I'm just acknowledging somebody. So some of the saints at our church may not realize this. We have a nice keyboard there at the church. We have it in the school. And many just go up and they play, but probably don't know where it came from. But Brother Japheth, just if you're here, just lift your hand. All right. Lift your hand so they can see you, Brother Japheth. Amen. Brother Japheth is the one that blessed us with that keyboard. And we thank God for him and his wife. Amen. They're still playing it, Brother Japheth. And the way I got connected with Brother Japheth was through Brother Trevor. Amen. He's my connection, and I certainly appreciate Brother Trevor. He's a precious friend of mine, and he and his precious wife and the kids, amen, we appreciate them. And as you all heard many times, I go way back with Brother Nathan and Brother Trevor. We've come a mighty long way, and God's just been good to us, amen, over the years. And you know, and I'm just happy to be associated with both of them. Amen. So praise the Lord. I want to read, amen, from two places in Scripture this morning, John 14 and also Mark 11. Amen. John 14 and then also Mark 11. Amen. John 14. And Mark 11. John 14, and we'll start reading here at verse 12. And it says as follows, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I might do it. I'll think about it.
No.
Y'all didn't read that?
No.
It says, I will do it.
Amen.
Amen. And also, let's just go over here to Mark chapter 11. Amen. And verse 20 through 26 here.
And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated, amen, this morning in the presence of the Lord. Again, we are grateful for the privilege, amen, to stand here and speak to this portion of the bride of Jesus Christ. And before we just give you the title for the thought, amen, today, just want to just take a little time just to kind of talk about a little story that the prophet shared. He was telling us about this little child, a young man. A man who lived a countryside. And one day he came into the city. And when he got there into the city, he approached one of his relatives' house. And I put it that way because some quotes said it was his grandmother's house, and some says it was auntie's house. Amen. But all we know is that he went to one of his relatives' house. That good enough. That's good enough for me, right? Amen. But he went to this relative's house, and when he went in, they had a piece of glass, amen, on the door, I believe it was, and as he was coming up the steps, and one quote Brother Random says, he's coming up the steps, and he's approaching his glass, and he starts, you know, doing a few things, and he notices that what he does in the glass is doing the exact same thing he's doing. So if he moves his hand to the right, then the glass is moving that way. And if he jumps, it's jumping. Whatever happens, whatever he's doing, that glass is actually reflecting that. And, Brother Branham said he just began to want to kind of, he said, it's another little boy like me, and I'd like to maybe befriend him, you know. And as he was just kind of, you know, going through the scene, the motions here, his parents began to look at him. And finally a revelation struck the little boy as he was standing in the mirror. And the revelation that struck this little boy as he stood in the mirror, he said, hey, that's me. Praise the Lord. And Brother Branham invites us that what we want to do is start taking a look, amen, in the mirror of the word. And as we look in the mirror of the word, hopefully we can see something a little bit more than what we have been seeing. Hopefully when we look into the mirror of the word, we can see ourselves. And today, amen, I'm praying by the grace of God that we will help the church begin to recognize who she is. Because our prophet told us that when the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go. So our title today is Raising Octaves. Amen. Raising Octaves. If you would just bear with me a little bit, amen, we will get through this thought. The prophet makes this statement in the message Adoption Part 4. He says, now notice then, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so close at hand until the spirit from way down in here, just barely justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now right into the time of the coming of the headstone. He says, the church has got to be. I want to make sure that we got that. This is like a verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely. Amen. But this is current day language. The church has
got to be. There's no other way around it. And not the prophet has got to be, but the church has got to be. The church has got to be so perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together. The same spirit. And if the spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you. That's another verily, verily. You have no option. It makes you live the life of Christ. Act the life of Christ. Do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said that. See? So now we got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. Says, what does that ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And if we were to break that down, the subject of most of that quote that I just read was the subject was the church. Amen. The subject was the church. I know we put emphasis in other places, but the subject was the church. He said the church had to come to this condition. Come on, somebody. But there was a ministry that came to bring us to this condition. Can I go forward? Yes, the Patmos vision. The prophet says this. And I'm so glad he spoke these things because, see, if the prophet said it, then I can say it. Amen. This is what he said in Patmos vision 1960. Says, amen, cut every obstacle from human beings that they might be connected like in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Now, man, I was going to choke it. This is why I'm so glad that he said it. See, if he didn't choke it, I'm not going to choke it. Said I was going to choke it. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit just welled up in the prophet and made him say these things. These seeds had to be planted because there was coming a people that would live this, that would manifest this. And I'm talking to that people today. I was going to choke it, but I'm going to say it. Man is omnipotent. That means you're all powerful. Man is omnipotent. He says, you don't believe that, but he is. He says, a man fully surrendered to God is omnipotent. Did not he say in Mark 11, 22, whatsoever things you say, and don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. You can have what you said. Says what happens when two omnipotents meet. When God and man comes together through omnipotence, something's got to shake. Said, whatever you say with that creative power of omnipotence of God, knowing that he's promised it, and he said it in his word, it creates a power that goes out yonder and brings things to pass. We need to stop and just meditate on words like this. Right? It creates a power that goes out yonder and brings things to pass. Things that is not, it makes them as though they are because two omnipotents have met. There he stands. Oh, isn't he wonderful? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living beneath my privileges. Amen. I'm glad that I can quote it, but I want to live it. I want to be able to express this. I want to walk in my omnipotence. I was made to be omnipotent. Born for omnipotent. To be omnipotent. Born for it. Come on, church. Brother Branham said that God had a threefold purpose. First thing was he wanted to reveal himself to his people. Amen. He says the great Jehovah God that covered all space and time and eternity. He could not. He's too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious says, how could that great being that never did begin, that after you went beyond the cycle of hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light, space, and on into infinite, into eternity, and a great creature that was all that and still is. He say he first wanted to reveal himself to his people. Secondly, he wanted to have the preeminence in his body of believers. He said that is his bride, that he might live in people. Now, you can't be omnipotent without an omnipotent God living on the inside of you. Says now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. It says, oh my, this is rich to me. Just even think of it. See what God's purpose was. He also said the third thing, amen, was to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. Amen. Back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, and fellowship with them. Amen. Brother Branham tells us again, cut every obstacle from us so that we might be connected like it was in the beginning. In the Garden of Eden. Sometimes you got to cut doubt. You got to cut unbelief. You got to cut people in your life that's not helping you get to this place. There's a lot of cutting that you have to do. Amen. But we're going back to what Adam had, what he lost. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ came to do, to take us back to that. All right, all right, all right. Stay with me. So we're talking about raising octaves. Now, when we look at, amen, this word octave, let's see here. Yeah, when we look at this word octave, the definition is the tone of the eighth degree from a given tone.
Come on. Yeah.
That's right. And in other words, it's the eighth note. Amen. If I start in C, my eighth note is going to be C, but it's just going to be at a higher pitch. It's going to be an elevation. When I'm raised in the octave, I'm no longer staying down here, but I'm actually climbing up the scale. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. And in every generation, God has raised octaves. Yes. Hallelujah. And this generation is not, amen, not without that same pattern. If you go back and look at Elijah and Elisha. Elijah worked 8 miracles in his lifetime, but when Elisha came along, the octave was raised. And Elisha worked 16 miracles. He had a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Amen. This thing is not supposed to be going backwards. It's supposed to be going forward. The octave, when we're raising it, is the tone, the eighth degree, or the or what we call the eighth note. The eighth note. Now, there are songs that we sing. Amen. Sometimes in service, one is there's no God like Jehovah. And when you start singing that song, you know, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. And next thing you know, they raise it up a little bit. And then they raise it up a little bit more. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's songs that we sung over the years. And amen. And every time that octave is raised, it causes for the congregation to sing a little bit more. Maybe you were in your comfort zone at one time, but when the octave gets raised, then it pulls you out of your comfort zone. Come on, somebody. When the octave is raised spiritually in your life, it's going to pull you out of your comfort zone. You're going to go into places that you never thought that you could go. It's an elevation. Come on, somebody. See, it causes us to give more of ourselves. Spiritually, we should be ready to give more of ourselves. See, Moses and Joshua, it was an elevation. Jesus and the disciples, it was an elevation. Elijah and Elisha, it was an elevation. In music, they have these notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Do. When I hit the eighth note, I'm back at do again. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, that the church did not start in Ephesus.
But the church started at Pentecost. The church started at Pentecost. So Pentecost was the first dough. Ephesus became Ray. Smyrna became me. Pergamos became Thar. Thyatira became So. Sardis became La. Philadelphia became T. But when we get back to dough, not just Laodicea, but the bride of Laodicea has come to a place of maturity and is returning back to the power of Pentecost. We've hit the eighth note. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why God sent us a prophet to bring us back to these places again. In this sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Branham was preaching this, and I tell you, I listened to this sermon once, and I did a series of sermons from this one sermon. I preached 14 messages. 14. And probably could have kept going. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. The only thing I did a little different, amen, was just change the title in my sermon. And my title became, The Bride is the Mystery of Christ Revealed. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, but the bride is the mystery of Christ revealed. Amen. Now, in this message, towards the end of the message, Brother Branham is preaching and he makes a statement. And he says, not knowing, of course, being spiritual, you watch spiritual things. Not knowing this, he says, God knows it. But if you'll turn and look at the clock, it's on the dot 2 o'clock. He said, the end of the second pool. He said, the third pool is at hand. And as he's making this, amen, a statement, he goes on, he begins to sing the song, amen, take the name of Jesus with you. And he had already started singing that song before he made the statement. But then, you know, after he made this statement, the end of the second pull, the third pull is at hand. See, he goes back into the same song, amen, take the name of Jesus with you. But if you would listen on the tape, you would see that, amen, the octave changes for the prophet. Now, you all forgive me for saying this. Please forgive me ahead of time. You know, I was listening to that at one point in time. You know, my first, amen, thought was, man, Brother Branham missed that key. All right. Like, oh my, Brother Branham, okay, all right, let's just keep singing. But thank God the Holy Ghost comes back through the prophet. And I wasn't there when he preached it. I just heard it on tape and I'm thinking he missed the key. But the Holy Ghost had something on the tape for me to hear. Some of you all might have been there that day when he preached it. I wasn't there, but I heard it on tape and the Holy Ghost still had something for me. Because while I'm listening, say, oh my, he missed that. I probably would have done the same thing in the tabernacle. Brother Branham, you just kind of... I'm just being honest. Right? But the Holy Ghost picks it up and he says, did you notice? Yeah, I think we all noticed it. But he said, did you notice the Spirit? Take the same song. See, when we're raising octaves, we're not changing songs. We're staying with the same song. We're staying with the same message. We're staying with the same Bible. We're staying with the same word. We're not changing anything. It's just an elevation. Did you notice the Spirit? Take the same song. and picking it up an octave higher like that, the next pool is at hand. Amen. Uh-huh. I was blessed by that. It got my thoughts in check when I realized it wasn't Brother Branham raising the octave, but the Spirit of God raised the octave. And I believe that same Spirit is here this morning to raise the octave in the bride. So Brother Branham, these three pulls that he had in his ministry, I was listening to a brother, a guest last year, Brother Whisper, he brought this out. And I got to stop sometime and start giving people credit for where I'm getting my thoughts from sometimes. I took Brother Gene Gabot's thought and made it mine the other night when I talked about the devil had his prayer answered and going to tell you that your prayer won't be answered. Brother Gene Gabot said that at my church, and I took that from him. Amen. See, when you say it, it becomes somebody else's. It's just, and they take credit for it. But I want to stop and just make sure that I give credit where credit is due. Brother Nathan one time preached a sermon here. He told me, say, go find the little shoe. And on the phone, when he just gave me the title, I said, oh, glory to God. And he could tell I stopped talking. I got real quiet. He's like, well, what's going on? I got me a pen and paper out. he know I'm getting ready to steal it. I told you, a preacher is one of the worst thieves there ever. They always stealing other people's sermons. Brother Whisper made this comment, said we can identify Brother Branham's three pulls in the Bible. Yes. He used that terminology, but we could go right to the Bible. The first pull being healing, that's Mark 16. Yeah, right. The second pull, amen, being discernment and prophesying, that was 1 Corinthians 12. Right. And the third pull being the opening of the word, the mysteries being revealed, that was Revelation 10. He had three pulls, but Brother Branham, you know, made it very clear to us that, you know, he wasn't the only one with three pulls. He said Jesus had three pulls. He says Jesus would heal the sick. That was his first pull. Second pull was rebuking the organizations and prophesying. And then his third pull was to the preaching to the eternal lost. 1 Peter 3:19 says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. See, that was Jesus preaching to the eternal lost. He had three pulls in his ministry. Brother Branham also told us that Noah had three pulls in his ministry. Genesis 6 and 7. Amen. The first was his preaching was, Noah's preaching alone was the first pull of his ministry. Amen. The second pull occurred once he entered into the ark. Brother Branham said he was there for 7 days, and that was the second pull of his ministry. He said, but the third pull happened after, amen, the door was shut to the ark. He said Sodom and Gomorrah also had three pulls, right? He says when Lot went down into Sodom and Gomorrah, that was the first pull, right? Amen. When those two angels showed up, amen, down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said that was the second pull to Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, but when the third angel showed up, destruction set in, that was the third pull. Hallelujah. So Brother Branham made it very clear to identify these various pulls, amen, that occurred. And, you know, if you just look at some of that, amen, and, you know, just through the history of Scripture, I just believe that we're coming to a spot where we're being elevated to. Yeah. Right. I believe the bride is being elevated, pulled out of your comfort zone. Yeah. Yes. It's time to go a little higher. Right. Right. Oh, my. Let me just pick up something here. Exodus 6 and 3. Glory to God. Exodus 6 and 3. This is the call, amen, of Moses. And God makes a comment here to Moses. You know, I'm just one that believes that, you know, we come here to Jeffersonville and we're going up and down the streets and some of the places that the prophet lived and walked and different experiences that he talked about. We get a chance to see that. And man, our hearts are just overjoyed. But, you know, I think there probably was a time just as Brother Branham was born and in his life, amen, he matured and his ministry matured. It was progressive, a lot of things like that. I think there was a time in Brother Branham's life where he looked at certain scriptures just like that little boy looked in the mirror. And said, that's me. Yeah. There were times where he looked at Malachi 4 and it struck him a little different. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody else look at it and say, oh, that's a nice scripture. But no, Brother Branham looked at it and said, hey, that's me. He looked at Revelation 10:7 and said, hey, that's me. And I believe there was a time where those things struck. I believe it's also got to be a time where the church can look at that and say, hey, that's me. Right? Mark 11, that's me. I'm supposed to be the one to say to the mountain, that's me. You got to be able to see yourself in the mirror of the word. If he said greater works than these shall you do, somebody's got to rise up and say, that's me. See, when we pick up here in Exodus 6, this is a time where Moses is being called. Moses might not have known, amen, it was told to him, but it maybe never really sunk in that he was supposed to be the deliverer to the children of Israel. His mama taught him that, but maybe it just didn't really sink in with him. But, you know, as he had his own personal experience with God, amen, things began to click within Moses. Now look at this, in Exodus 6:3 it says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them.
All right.
Now I appeared to them and they did have experiences with me. Right? But by my name Jehovah, I mean Abraham had a tremendous experience. Abraham being up there in the mountain, and God told him that the very boy that he had promised him, he gave him this promised son, and then he said, now I want you to sacrifice that boy back to me. Abraham takes him up the mountain and he's gonna sacrifice him. And Isaac asks his daddy, say, now daddy, I see the wood, I see this, I see that, but where is the sacrifice? And I like the way Abraham puts it. Brother Solomon, he gave me this one. I'm not going to steal it from him. Brother Solomon, he said, if you look at the scripture, amen, it says, I will provide myself. Not what I will provide for myself. I will provide myself a sacrifice. And what he was telling us that he was going to be the sacrifice. Ultimately, the Lamb of God would be the sacrifice. Abraham takes Isaac up there and lays him out there on the altar, and he's about to take his life, and he hears the voice of the Lord say, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Says, no, he said, I got a sacrifice over here. And he went there and he found a ram in the bush. And that ram became the sacrifice. It was the substitute to take Isaac's place.
Right.
How we thank God for that. But when you look at it, amen, God provided that, and Abraham knew him as he says, I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So what God is getting ready to do is elevate and take Moses into a place that the others had never, ever experienced.
Amen.
Stay with me here. Let's read a quote. Because I believe it's time for us to know him as Jehovah.
Amen. All
right. Adoption part one. The prophet says this. He says, but in Genesis 2, when he made man, he said, I am YAHUJUVUH, Yahuwah Jehovah. What did it mean? I am the all existence one who has created something off of myself to be a son of mine or a temporary or amateur little one of mine. Oh my, I don't know, even if it was just temporary, I'll still take it.
Amen.
You know, Peter walked on the water temporarily. It was just temporary. I mean, we can concentrate on the part he sunk. But I want to put emphasis on the part he walked. It might have been temporary, but he still walked. A man born the way you are born. A man that made mistakes the way you made mistakes. But yet he walked.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And he did that without the Holy Ghost. I mean, we saw a lot of people do some things without the Holy Ghost. Joshua stopped the sun without the Holy Ghost. Now, what should we be doing with the Holy Ghost? Oh, the Holy Ghost can do a lot more than just keep you safe. It's supposed to take you back into this place that God had for us. Let's go on with this quote. It says, what did it mean? I'm the all-existence one who has created something off of myself to be a son of mine, or a temporary amateur little one of mine. Oh, glory, why he gave man. And this is the prophetic definition of what it means to know him as Jehovah. Jehovah means that he gave man to be an amateur God. One other place, Brother Branham says something about a man. He is a God. Direct quote. Said Jehovah means that he gave man to be an amateur God, because he is Father God and he made man an amateur God, so he isn't self-existent anymore. He exists with his family. I believe this. It says, amen, Ella, Ella, Elohim. Now he is Jehovah. Jehovah meaning the one who exists with his family. He can't even be Jehovah without you.
Good brother.
Amen. You got to think about this. He could not even be Jehovah without you. Because Jehovah means he exists with his family. Are you a part of the family?
Amen.
It says, now God made man to be predominant over all the earth. He had dominion. And the earth was man's dominion. Is that scripture? Then if that's his dominion, he was God over the earth. I don't believe that's past tense, because we're still living on the earth. Man is still here on the earth. So man should still be predominant, right? It says he was God over the earth. He could speak and it would be so. He could speak this and it would be so. Oh, there he is, God, Jehovah, the one who once existed in self-existence, but now exists with his family and his little ones with him. There you are. Now, as Jehovah being an amateur God, we have to look back at some of the characteristics of our own God and just start at the beginning. In the beginning, God said, let there be light.
Amen.
And the Bible says, there was light.
Amen.
Just that simple. So to be Jehovah, he had a certain creative attribute about him.
Right.
And if we're going to know him as Jehovah, that same creative attribute is going to be expressed in and through us.
Amen.
See, when he told Moses, say, I appeared unto them as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. He was about to elevate Moses to a place that nobody else had ever seen. Well, what happened with Moses? When Moses went down into Egypt, Moses called for frogs. Moses called for lice. Moses called for flies. Moses called for locusts. Moses had the same spoken word in him that was in Jehovah at the beginning. Come on, somebody. When Moses got in trouble down in Egypt, the people were coming out. And as they were coming out, amen, getting ready to go to the promised land, God intentionally, oh my God. He says, I want you to go a certain way, Moses. I don't want you to go this direction. I want you to go a specific way. And God did it intentionally.
Amen.
I want y'all to get that.
Come on, brother.
And they get to the Red Sea. And while they're at the Red Sea, behind him is Pharaoh's army.
Uh-huh.
And the people begin to see Pharaoh's army coming up. And the Red Sea in front of them, they had no idea what they could do. They began to cry out to Moses. Moses didn't know what to do. So Moses did something. Brother Branham said that God did not even tell Moses to do this. But Moses spoke, he said, the Egyptians that you have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. He did not have a thus saith the Lord. He spoke that by inspiration. And what I want you to understand is that sometimes God will intentionally put you into places where you're going to have to open your mouth and speak. When Brother Branham was in the Colorado storm, God put him there intentionally. And he sent him back into the storm. He said, open up your mouth. Speak to that storm. Intentionally, I forgot my gun. God knew. God made it intentional. Brother Ram said, you know, he going across that path that I killed a bull. And the first thing he went to reach was his gun. God made sure he forgot the gun. You don't need a gun with what I'm giving you. I got something greater than a gun. But you got to understand this. You know, last Sunday I preached a sermon, pressure produces power. You have to be in some really tough situations before you'll see these things happen. Brother Branham had to be in the path of the killer bull without a gun before we would hear the testimony that he told a bull to go sit down. See, this type of faith that we're talking about, this is controlled by motive and objective. Brother Branham didn't just go do this just to do it. But when he shared the testimonies, it was to quicken something on the inside of us. And that quickening would cause us to elevate, raise an octave. Oh, there's many other times we can go in his life and see where God allowed Brother Branham to know him as Jehovah. How about when his wife had the tumor? And he was in a whole nother city somewhere. He say now he was praying, and then the angels said to stand up and whatever you say.
Right.
Oh my. Whatever you say. I mean, you've asked me, you prayed, I've heard your prayer. Now, whatever you say, that's the way it's gonna be. He say, before the doctor's hand touch her body, that tumor gonna be gone.
Right.
And when he spoke it, he didn't even call to check to see what had happened.
Right.
He went to preach, and then after he preached, talked to his wife and let her tell him what had already happened.
Amen.
Oh, my God. Amen. You have to know the power of the God that lives on the inside of you. When Moses said, Egyptians, you've seen the day, you'll see no more forever. That was the spoken word that was released out of his mouth.
Amen.
Because if you go back and you really look at that, you look at Exodus 14, this is where he says this, and I love this. Verse 13 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That's verse 13 and 14. But I find that many of us are just like Moses. We're trapped in between verse 14 and 15. Because in verse 15, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That means Moses spoke something out of his mouth. The Egyptians you've seen today, you'll see no more forever. The Lord gonna fight for you. He just encouraging everybody. That's verse 14. But in between verse 14 and 15, he's praying. And asking God. Brother Branham said when Moses began to, you know, call on God, like he said, Lord, what shall we do? Say, God was going over to sit down. He says, when he heard Moses, amen, crying, what shall we do? He said, God turned around and said, he just got upset with Moses. I gave you specific instruction. I want you to take care of this. Say, don't cry to me. Don't cry to me, Moses. Speak and go forward. See, we get caught in between these verses. We know, amen, we're supposed to exercise in this type of authority, but doubt begins to settle in. But one day we're going to doubt our doubts. And we're going to begin to walk where God has called us to walk as the bride of Jesus Christ. So come crying to me, Moses, speak and move forward. And that day, man, I tell you what, when God opened up that Red Sea and the children of Israel went through on dry ground, and here Pharaoh and his army come right behind them. And Pharaoh did not realize when he come riding behind Moses with his great arms, say, oh, we're going to catch him now because the pillar of fire has gone away. Now we're going to catch him. We're going to get him now. Say, no. God did that intentionally. God moved the pillar of fire off the scene for that, just for that one occasion. Moved it off the scene because I had something intentionally I got to do. I want Pharaoh and his army to come on into this sea. I need him here. I need him here for a purpose. The reason I need him here is because my son just spoke. And there's a part of me in my son. And with that being in my son, he spoke it by inspiration. I'm so proud of him. Now I'm going to drown Pharaoh's army. And the Egyptians, they had seen that day. They saw no more. Forever. Oh my. Moses knew him as Jehovah. I want to go forward here. Joshua knew him as Jehovah. Joshua, amen, Brother Branham tells us, is a type of the Holy Ghost. He says, the Holy Ghost that's been here all the time. Amen. He said Joshua was in the camp all the time, but he was just not recognized. And what I'm telling us is that the Holy Ghost has been here all the time, but we haven't recognized the power that the Holy Ghost has been brought back to give us. It's been in the camp all the time. Stay with me. But I believe the Holy Spirit is raising the octave and he's picking up the church for placing. Joshua had to take them in the land and also divide the land. Now, Joshua's experience was a little different from Moses' experience. And I want you to stay with me here just for a little bit longer. Joshua, I believe his appetite was wet by the things that he heard Moses talk about. Moses would say, you know, Joshua, I was there in the desert and I was just there with my family. And all of a sudden I looked up and I saw a bush, amen, that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. He said, man, there was something about it. And I just told my wife, say, I got to go and see what this is all about. And I drew close to the bush. And I can just imagine Moses just building it up and say, man, as I drew close, I was just approaching very slow. I didn't know what was going on there. And as I got real close, I heard a voice tell me, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Right. So I took off my shoes and I approached it and I just began to commune with Almighty God. And Joshua, it was a wonderful experience. And I believe, amen, Joshua got a hold of that experience. And as he just dwelt on that, as he held it, you know, amen, thank you very much. As he held that experience, you know, he said, man, I just wish one day that I could have the same type of experience.
Come on.
Oh, glory to God. And Joshua, when it came time for them to go into the promised land, Joshua was out. Amen. Just kind of thinking of the strategy and what they would do to get across and go through the land. And while he's out there, he gets a visitation. And when he gets this visitation, here is the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua draws his sword and says, are you for us or against us? Uh-huh. He says, Joshua, take off your shoes. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Take off your shoes. Say, this is pretty much a holy place where you're standing right now. This is a holy conversation we can really have. Take off your shoes. Now, when Joshua recognized that the angel of the Lord was telling him to take off his shoes, he had heard that before. But this time it was a little different. Because it wasn't just a pillar of fire inside of a bush. Brother Branham tells us that the pillar of fire had become a man. So Joshua's experience was greater. The octave was raised. Yeah. Because Joshua had more responsibility.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
He told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you.
Amen.
And when Joshua, Joshua just probably thought about that, say, as he was with Moses, so will he be with me. Now, he knew Moses had made some tremendous mistakes in his life. One was that Moses failed to circumcise his sons before he went on his commission to go deliver the children of Israel. He failed to royally fail. but God was still with him.
Yes.
Moses fell when he struck the rock. Oh my God. He was supposed to speak to the rock, but he struck it twice. Amen. The water did come out. And this is something that I always tell people. Be careful. Don't just get caught up on the anointing. But you better make sure you have the anointing with the word. Because water did come out. But Moses got in trouble for what he did. Recently, we were going through the Feast of Baal Peor at church. And Moses is the one that brought the children of Israel to that place. Had he not brought the children of Israel down there, amen, to that invitation that Balak sent to him, they would have never lost 24,000 people. That was a fatal mistake. The people got involved in something they should have never got involved with. But that did not change God's mind about Moses being his prophet.
Amen.
Can I just say it since I'm here? I don't care how many mistakes you thought you found. It still does not change God's mind as to who he says is his prophet. So I'm not looking for mistakes because it don't change God's mind. And if it don't change God's mind, it's not going to change my mind. Joshua could look at these things. He could look at all the failures. God told me, say, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And here, God manifests himself not only just in the pillar fire, but the pillar fire become a man in Joshua's day. Joshua saw him as the captain of the Lord's hosts. Had a very similar experience that Moses had. Now look at this. Joshua knew him as Jehovah. Because Joshua, as he come to a battle, Joshua stopped the sun. And when he stopped the sun, that was a demonstration of the spoken word. And notice now, Joshua stopped the sun. I want you to see this according to scripture. Joshua stopped the sun after he made two fatal mistakes. Not before. It was after he made two fatal mistakes, God still allowed Joshua to know him as Jehovah. To experience him as Jehovah. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I don't care about your mistakes. God still wants you to know him as Jehovah. Achan stole that wedge of gold, took the Babylonian garment, and it caused for them to lose about 36 men. Now, the reason I say that was a mistake, because that was underneath Joshua's reign that occurred.
Right.
Now, when you go back and you look at the scripture, amen, and I always just think about this. It's like Achan with the Babylonian garments.
Right.
Living amongst the Israelites.
Right.
When would there ever be an occasion?
All right.
An opportunity. I mean, You know, whatever celebrations they're going to have, when is he ever going to come out the house with these Babylonian garments on and maybe nobody questions where he got it from? When would there ever be, only thing he could do is bury this stuff in his tent and be proud that he got it but can't wear it. Something was wrong with Achan's thinking. Young sisters, you know that little outfit that you just bought? When is there going to ever be an opportunity for you to wear it amongst the saints? And notice I said amongst the saints. Because I know you might say, well, I ain't going to be with the saints. I'm going to be over. No, amongst the saints. When can you bring that amongst the saints? If you can't bring it amongst the saints, you shouldn't have it. Amen. Achan stole this wedge of gold and took the Babylonian garments. Now, I want to drop just a little something else in that. When Achan stole the wedge of gold, if you go back and look at scripture, the very next battle, God told them that whatever they got, they could have. money and everything else, the very next battle. What God wanted was just, you know, this first battle, give me, amen, what's mine. And pretty much he's saying, you know, amen, give me my portion. Give me my tithe. Give me my tenth. But the next one, I'm going to give it to you. Achan stole the tithe. And had he waited just one more battle, he would have been able to take all the gold he wanted. Just go back and read your Bible. It's there. Achan stole his wedge of gold, took the Babylonian garments, and this was all underneath Joshua's leadership. Next thing that Joshua did, he was deceived by the Gibeonites. You go back and read the scripture, amen, he made a covenant, and God told him, don't make no covenant with anybody. And they got so excited. They come with this great lie. You know, they dressed up in old clothes and brought these old broken bottles and stale bread and all kinds of stuff. We've been on a long journey. We heard about the children of Israel. We just want to make an agreement of peace with you all. And Joshua just jumped. Oh, my, they want to join up with us? Let's just sign an agreement. Come to find out days later after they signed it that the people was neighbors. They were lying to them all along. They had not come a long way. They'd been neighbors all along. But because of that agreement, he couldn't do anything about it. He failed God. He failed to follow the word of God.
Right.
But even in his failures, I need you to understand that. Even in the midst of his failures, God still allowed Joshua to do something that had never been done before. He stopped the sun. After his failures. I'm telling you this morning, after your failures, you're still going to know him as Jehovah.
All right.
Look at what Brother Branham says this. Says here, and as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. He says, but then another great commission Joshua had was to divide the land with the people. Now remember, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. They had God's word, as I was with Moses, move right on out. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll not fail you. You may fail me, but I won't fail you. Not like this. So you may fail me, but I won't fail you. But if you fail me, my grace is sufficient. I'll bear you right back up. Just keep moving on. And as long as you stay with my word, I'll take care of you. See, it's not my goodness, it's his goodness. It's not my grace, but it's his grace. It's not my holiness, but his holiness. It's all about Christ. Church, I want to finish with this quote here. I believe, amen, the seeds must be planted so the octave can be raised in the lives of God's people. Brother Branham made a statement here in God's provided place of worship. He said, Martin Luther had the mechanics and dynamics of his day. John Wesley had them of his day. Pentecostal had them with their day. And if I could just inject a little bit more there, Brother Branham had both the dynamics and mechanic in his day. But he asked the question, what about our day? This is another time the church should be fully grown now, ready to go meet Christ with the manifestation of every blessing that he promised in the Bible, operating in that one great body where he promised that he would meet the people and be worshiped in this great church of his. If Martin Luther had it in his day, if John Wesley had it in his day, the Pentecostals had it in their day, we're going to have it in our day.
Amen.
Because Brother Branham brought the word to restore it back to this day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's time for us to raise the octave. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that challenges us. Your prophet, God, has laid many things out right here in this area.
seeds that were planted. But now the Holy Spirit is watering those seeds and bringing life to them. We notice how the Spirit in that song, Lord, that he was singing, Take the Name of Jesus With You, say, notice how the Spirit is, took it up an octave, picked it up and raised it a little higher. If the Spirit could do that to the song, may the same Spirit do that to a people. God, now may you elevate us, call us up to those places that where you want us to be. We're not going back to, amen, the Pentecostal denomination, but we're going back to what happened on the day of Pentecost. That's where the church was birthed. And everything that we see in the church, in the book of Acts, those are the things that we expect to see in the church today. God, we're not running from it. We're not ashamed of it. We believe, Lord, that this is what, amen, the message was supposed to produce. Yes, many of them have gone into fanaticism, but that does not negate the fact that these things are promised in the scripture. So, Father, we're under expectation. And my prayer, God, is that each and every person in this place would bring themselves to a place of complete and total submission to the Spirit of God, that they would live the life that you've called them to live. Lord, may they not be satisfied until they come to a place, Lord, of just total, where you have complete control. That's the life that we want to live. And even in that, God, we realize this body of flesh, it may make many mistakes. But we're not concentrating on the mistakes. We're concentrating on the God that dwells on the inside. Not that we will willfully go out and sin. That's not what it's all about. We'll make little slip-ups here and there. But God, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we'll make things right as well. So Lord, my prayer is that if you could... You could do something so great for Joshua after he had failed. God, what can you do for us? We yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. As the pastor comes, God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that this morning.
Amen.
Brother Jack titled it Raising an Octave, but the first half of it, I thought he was preaching Speak the Word, Part 53. And then the last half of it, I thought he was preaching Flawed Characters, Part 27. So, amen. Amen. Went right along with some of the things that we've been looking at. I appreciate it this morning. Amen. I want to read this to you from The Fundamental Foundation for Faith, 1955. Brother Branham said, and whatever he asked, he's talking about the first Adam, whatever he asked, why he just got it, everything obeyed him because he was God's child, and the child is heir of all things. He said, now when man fell, he lost this, and now what he lost in the fall, Christ come as a redeemer. Did you ever stop to think what Christ redeemed us for?
Right.
He gave us everlasting life. He brought us back to the eternal fellowship and relationship to God to be his sons and daughters again, to restore back all, A-double-L-L, all that Adam lost in the fall. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that you know him as Jehovah Jireh? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together. Jehovah Jireh, amen. You're my provider. You are more than enough for me. By your strength.
You're so much more than he does. Oh, you are more than he does. Oh, is that how you feel about him this morning? Oh, Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Oh, you are more than enough for me. Let's just worship him while his presence is here. Jehovah Rapha, Lord, you're my healer, and it's by your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah, every chain. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army, it's rising up. Oh, there's an army that's rising. Break every chain. Oh Lord, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Lord, I can hear those chains are falling. Oh, I can hear those chains are falling. I can hear those chains. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing, it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army that's rising up. Oh, there's an army, it's rising up. Oh, there's an army, it's rising up. Lord, break every chain. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I can hear those chains are falling. Oh, I can hear those chains are falling. Oh, I can hear those chains are falling. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, I'm amazed, Lord, that you love me.
Reality, something keeps holding.
temptation and his desire to steal away my faith. But I have found in time the revelation, the strength I need to keep me by his grace. Something keeps holding me every day. I see he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, he's giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Something keeps holding me. Every day I see he's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see is helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, he's a reality. Something keeps holding me. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, your name. Oh, some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out. Tables spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by that open door. Oh, and I can see the crystal river. Lord, I know I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. I can see my family gathered, those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying, feels like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick. Oh, see the bright light shine.
see my family gathered. Those sweet faces all familiar, but no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. You longing for it? Sometimes my lonesome heart gets to crying. Church, I feel like spreading my wings for flying, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the light. Oh, yes, Lord, I can see that the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Oh, Lord, I've never been this homesick. Oh, let's sing it one more time together. See the light. Just dismiss us in a word of prayer. Good to have him fellowshipping with us this morning.
God bless. That was a wonderful, wonderful word today, Lord.
Amen.
I just pray and just enjoy our day. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to gather together, Lord. We just thank you for allowing us all to get here safely and just enjoy your word, growing in your word, Lord. Lord, right now as we dismiss and separate from one another, Lord. Lord, allow us to just continue to fellowship in your word and on what was spoken today, Lord. Let it to just soak into our bodies and just help us grow into your word and into the bride that you want us to be, Lord. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning. Enjoy each other's fellowship. Keep the Lord before you. Let's sing it as we go this morning. We'll see the bright light shine. It's just about full time. Oh, and I can see my father standing at the door.